This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this week's message entitled, What Matters Most, Pastor Scott reminds us that the secret to knowing what matters most is understanding the nature of God. This message was delivered on July 8th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. Hey, one more thing I forgot to give Tom as an announcement because I just got word on Friday evening, but next week, Sunday, 1 o'clock, softball practice. Yeah, so if you have no skills, come out because one day you'll be ready. Yeah. Okay, so we'll be ready. I think we're going to scrimmage the champions from New Hope Puna. So, you know how it is, right? Even if we practice, we're going to get competitive, right? Because that's how we are. So next week, Sunday after church, 1 o'clock, I think we got the field from 1 to 5. I don't know about 4-hour practice, but that's kind of long, man. Maybe 1 hour and I'll be on the bench. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, it's just, I learned as a young Christian, some important lessons about coming to church. And like in the Bible, you read about the festivals that they had. They were always at a designated place at a designated time. And I learned from that, church is like that. It's at a designated place and a designated time. And even when I travel, and if it's on Sunday and I'm not flying, I will find a church to go to because to me, it's important. And I always like to go to churches on the mainland. I like to see what they're doing. And, our church better. Our church do this better. Our church do that better. And, I pick up mental notes and just see how I can, do church better. And it's important to me. And I learned that at a young Christian age that, church is very important. So each and every one of you here this morning, welcome, because you know what is important in your life, right? Somebody said, 7 days without church makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. Play on words, huh? Yeah. With everything going on now, the earthquakes and the lava flow, the evacuations, the toxic air that everybody's like, I'm afraid to go to the Big Island because the news just blows it up so bad. And to me, I stay at home and it's like, there's nothing new here. It's still the same. We get fog, we get acid rain. We always had acid rain. And I think for me, my life is kind of normal because I'm not in that zone. But for those who were in that zone who had to evacuate and all the things that are going on, recently we had flooding on Kauai and Oahu, and you look at the destruction and everything going on, and you think like, wow. And you think, if I had to evacuate, or if any of you had to evacuate and make adjustments in your life, you think about it, what is the important thing? What matters? What is going on? It's like that bomb threat a few months ago, that missile threat. Man, in that moment, we realized what was important to us. In that short time, and it's like, you see the news. People were putting their families inside a manhole. It's like, really? It's like, wow. And I was out here, and I was like, praising the Lord. It's like, man. And because my children are saved, my wife is saved, I wasn't really worried too much. I just called my children, said, I love you. I'll see you in heaven in 20 minutes, possibly, if it's going to come. But there's no trying to put kids or something, family down a manhole. I mean, realistically, you're in Paradise Park, go find a cement building. yeah, okay, we're going to go to John and Amy's house because they have a cement house. So I hope you can fit 110 people in your house. Knowing me, I have to sacrifice and stay outside. But, you know, what was important? When we had that earthquake on that Friday, you know, Al and I, we were planning to go fishing on Thursday night. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be my second fishing trip of the entire year. The first one was in January. And Al said, you know, maybe we shouldn't go because of all the things going on. And I was like, oh. Then I listened to the voice of wisdom, Al. It's like, because he's been around for many years. Well, not I'm not calling you old, but he's like an elder. He's wise. He's wiser than I am. He's gifted, more talented than I am, and like, you know, like a brother, but more like a father kind of a thing. And he said, maybe we shouldn't go. And I would listen to him, and it's like, well, oh, I guess you're right. We shouldn't. I think if we went, I cannot imagine, because where I fish, I like to climb down cliffs. I think I'm part monkey. But I would be 30 feet down looking straight up at rocks. And I would have probably been there when that earth shook. And maybe somebody else would be here preaching today. And it's like, kind of like you're disappointed, but you listen to wisdom. And what was important to him was making sure that his wife wasn't worrying about, oh, are they okay? What was important to him was our safety. And I was like, thank you for telling me that we shouldn't go, because that was a very smart choice. And if it wasn't for him, maybe me and somebody else, we probably would have gone. Maybe me and James, because me and James would have probably fished through anything. Rain, snow, thunder, lightning, hail, we'd go. Because we're not as wise as some other people. Because what would matter to us is see who can catch the bigger fish. Sometimes we think like that. Like when we play softball, what matters is, hey, let's win. Not the fellowship. You know, it's like, win. But, you know, I got to get reminded, hey, stop yelling at the other team or the referee. We're here to fellowship, to build relationship, not tear it down. Sometimes, you know, man, we get so competitive. We get so competitive. And we forget about what matters most. You know, after that earthquake, that Friday earthquake, that 6.5 that rattled us, it's like, just so happened, I was at home for lunch, and the house started to shake, and it's like, uh-oh. And then I seen my 55-gallon fish tank shaking. It's like, whoa. So I held on to it. It's like, whoa. And then I figured it's going to stop, but it kept shaking. It kept shaking. And then right after that, you know, my daughters, everybody, we're all texting each other. It's like, oh, where are you? Are you okay? Is everything good? So right after that, my daughter said, Dad, we got to download this app on your phone called Life 360. How many of you ever heard of that? Man, it can be good, it can be bad, because that app, it shows you where, it shows everybody who your friends are, where you are. Oh. Well, not that I would be in a bar or anything. Come on. No, I'm not. I mean, I wouldn't be one of those, hey, I got to go witness to the guys in the bar. No, okay? And, you know, so I can open it up, and like, oh, Christy, Macy's again? Come on. Christy, Ross's again? Christy's Target again? No. You know, it kind of can tell you so that when something happens, we know where everybody's at, and we kind of can, okay, they're at work. They go, okay, you know, he's at home, okay, you know. So, yeah, she said she made us friend her and download that app. And so if you have children and they have a phone, that's a good thing to have so you can watch where they're at. Yeah, when they're not home at 10 o'clock at night, like, hey, where is that? Where are they? You know, so she made us do that so we can kind of keep track. Because why? Family is important to us, and we kind of watch out for each other. You know, in these times when the stress level is high anxiety is, you know, we think, what is really, really, really important to you and to me? What matters most here and now? When we're all stressing out, not sure what's going to happen, praying that the lava would stop, and trying to get through this season. You know, are we, you and I, are we in this season looking to draw closer to God, seeking what He wants, getting God's work done? What is on my priority list? Okay, so this is how it is. If you're on an airplane and it has to do a water landing in the water, what are you going to do? I better grab that malasadas and that manapu I bring it home from my neighbors. Right? Or I better grab that because if we stuck out of here, I need food for weeks. Or you're going to grab your hand carries and try to drag that out the plane. No, you're not. You're going to get your butt out of that plane, right? Because it's going to sink. And sometimes in that moment, you realize what matters, what is most important, what really matters most. And here's number one. What matters most is knowing that God loves you and He loves yours, you and your family. Romans 5:8. Can you read that with me? Ready, go. But God demonstrates His own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you guys have it in your bulletin, God died for us, right? He loves us. He loves you. He loves yours. And He proved that by dying on a cross. Now, if you didn't love someone, would you risk your life for them? Would you even die for them? Would you even consider it? God loves you and I so much that He sent Jesus to die for us as a sacrifice so that we could have a way back to a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And for us, it's very important for us to know that God loves us. But if we take that a step further, do you know that God loves your unsaved family and friends just as much as He loves you? And more importantly, do they know it? Do you let them know that God loves them? How else are they going to know that Christ died for them? Romans 10:12-15. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You know, I gotta admit, I have beautiful feet. They may not smell good, but they're beautiful. Ask my daughter. She gave me a pedicure once. She hardly had to do anything because my feet was good. No yellow toenails, but it was beautiful. So when we tell others about Christ, you know, we get to be an effective witness. And it got to include more than just telling them. But it's living it before them. It's being an example, letting them watch how we handle stressful situations, how we deal with unruly people, how we live out the gospel in our lives, how we model the Christian faith. We need to somehow connect the mind of the unbeliever to the good news of the message of Jesus Christ. We must take God's great message of salvation to the world, to others, so that they have an opportunity to respond. Now that's what we get to do with our loved ones, with our neighbors. We get to connect them. Is God calling you to do that? Because I believe once we say yes to Jesus Christ, we are enlisted in his army. We are to take his message to the corners of the earth. We are to make it known in our community and to the ends of the earth for every person to hear it. What matters most? Number two, knowing that he will never leave you. God will never leave you. Sometimes it may feel like it, but he promises. In Deuteronomy 31:6, he is talking to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. You know, when we are in our trials, when we are facing difficult times, you will either get stronger in your relationship with Christ or you'll get weaker. You never stay the same. And it happened to me once, long ago. In my trials, I got weaker. I got angry, and I ran away from God for 20 years. I know what it's like to do the wrong thing in a trial. I learned that in a trial, in a storm, in the most difficult times in your life, you run to God, not run away from God. I ran away from God. And what seemed like 20 years of partying and doing all the wrong things, it damaged relationship, damaged my body. That's why I never grew to 5'8". Too much of the wrong things. I tell you, man, if I learned, I would be, you know. Yeah, so no matter what you feel or what you're in or what happens, God does exist. And God deeply loves you. No matter how awful things will become, no matter what happens, you know, in any situation, use it to draw closer to God. Don't run from him. Don't fight it. In the middle of your trials, when it feels like you've been abandoned, you left alone to figure things out on your own, maybe you feel like, man, I'm all alone and the wolves are ready to devour me. Understand that God said that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You have to understand that, the importance of that, because it's a promise from God. Number three, knowing what's most important. If you are loving God, and if you are loving people already, you're doing your devotions, you're serving in the church, you know what matters most. And when things happen, when you're in a stressful situation, you're not going to be scrambling trying to stick your kids in a manhole, trying to save their life, because you know what's important. I knew my children were saved. I knew that Jesus lived in their heart. So the last thing what I want to do is shove them down a manhole or stick them in a cement building. You know, we knew it. When we get sick, when we're in a hospital, what are you going to tell your loved ones? Bring my fishing pole. I want to hold it one last time. Bring my high heels. Yeah, right. No, you're not. Come here, let me give you a hug. I want to be around my family. What is most important? And if the lava comes to your house, what are you going to do? Grab your stove? Are you going to carry it out? Grab your, you can imagine running out of your house with one 60-inch television. Really? Seriously? I mean, if anything, I would grab my important papers because I might need them. Would I grab my tools so I can rebuild my house? Probably not. Would I grab my fishing pole so I can catch fish to eat? No, I would probably say, well, Lord, I get to build a new house someplace else. And Lord, you can take those termites who moved in. Yeah, and I can watch the termites burn. Oh, he got them back. You know what I mean? What's most important, man? Are you, or maybe your pets. Yeah, I'll take my dogs out. Well, most of my dogs. Some of them are naughty. Ooh, I know. Hey, I shall not lie. Right? I have three dogs. Two are really good. One just doesn't like me at all. The fact of life. But Matthew 25, Jesus tells this parable. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "There's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke and opened and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, that our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "they may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil. Buy some for yourselves." Right, I can imagine back there looking for one 7-Eleven that opened 24 hours looking for oil. Not a chance. But while they were on their way, to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Now, in this parable, Jesus told the following parables to help us understand what it means to be ready for his return and how we should live until then. In this story of the 10 bridesmaids, we are taught that each and every one of us, you and I, we are responsible for our own spiritual condition. On the wedding day, the bridegroom went to the bride's house for the ceremony. And the bride and the groom, along with the great procession, returned to the groom's house when they had that feast. Man, and how is this wedding feast back in those days? Lasted a week. Imagine feeding your guests for 1 week. Man, that's just like your whole mortgage and then some. That's like feeding them for 1 week. So these 10 bridesmaids were waiting to join the procession. They hoped to take part in the marriage feast. But when the groom didn't come back on time, 5 of them ran out of oil. And by the time they got some more, it was too late to join the feast. When Jesus returns to take us to heaven, we need to be ready. Okay? Spiritual preparation begins now. Spiritual preparation cannot be bought, cannot be borrowed at the last minute. Our relationship with Jesus Christ has to be our own. I cannot have my spiritual relationship live through my wife, It has to be my own. There was times when my spiritual relationship with God was through my wife. When I was immature and I wasn't coming to church, she would wake up in the morning, "You want to come to church?" Said, "No, you go. You pray for me." "How was church?" "Oh, Pastor talked about that." "Okay, good." My spiritual life was lived through her when I was young and immature. Now my spiritual life is my own. My relationship with God is my own. My wife's spiritual relationship is with God on her own. Yes, we talk about it. Your relationship with God has to be your own. It cannot be lived through somebody else. Matthew 16:26. "What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Nothing. How we live in this brief span of life here on earth determines our eternal state. You know, we can accumulate earthly values, but it will have no value in eternal life. Sometimes I look at my tool collection and I'm proud. I have a tool to do a lot of things. But what good is it going to do me in heaven? Nothing. Nothing. And just to get the last laugh, I'm going to tell them, "Bury me with it," so that my kids can't sell it for 50 cents at a garage sale. Because they will. And all your fishing stuffs too. And your nice truck. Yeah. And your Coach bags. And your high heels. Yes. Could you imagine if we have what matters most, our priorities in order? Not according to the world standards, but according to the Bible, according to God's standard, we had everything in order. Could you imagine how much peace you would be living with? When something happens to your house, a flood, a hurricane, or lava, you would look at that and say, "Well, God is all I need." Even if God is all you got, you would be at peace and you would understand. You know, when my house first showed signs of termites, I was mad. I was really mad. I was like, "Man, I worked so hard to build this house." But after I grew up and matured, it's like, well, it's a house. And the termites just remind me that it's just temporary. Right? What matters most? Does my life conflict with what the Bible says? Or does my life kind of confirm what the Bible says? The time to make adjustments in our life is now. We shouldn't wait to things to happen to make adjustments, because it might be too late. You know, and for me, I think the best thing that we all can do individually is stay in the Word of God, doing your daily devotions, hearing from God every day. That's the best thing we can do, because it prepares us for things to come. What really matters most? My wife's grandmother, when she turned 100 years old, my wife was concerned about her grandmother not knowing Jesus. And every time we would pray, she would look at me like, "Come on." And we would go to Oahu, come back, nothing. We would go, and then finally, after her 100th birthday, we went, and I said, "Grandma, would you want to accept Jesus?" She said, "Yes." We prayed. She accepted Jesus, and like 2 weeks later, she died. What really mattered most? What really mattered was her salvation. And we made sure of that. Why? Because it's important. Family and friends, what matters most in your life? Your family, your friends, your relationship with God, whatever it is, man, don't wait. Take care of it now. Because you know what? If you can take care of what matters most now, man, you can live with so much peace, so much freedom. Because it's taken care of. Amen? And it's just like the best way to live. You know, if you see somebody has offended you, man, just go and love them. Yeah, I was walking the other day, and I seen some people who I was kind of like, they had hurt me in the past. And I just went up to them, I gave them a hug, and I said, I love you. It was hard, but you know what? I'm at peace. If I see them, no matter, because I have nothing against them. But just live at peace. And that's what I want you to look at today. Go out from here and think about what matters most. If you have an unsaved child, go get them saved. Do your best to live a life that they would look and say, wow, I want to be like that. I want that kind of peace. I want that kind of blessings. Live it before them. Amen. I want to ask the worship team to come up. What matters most here and now that you are still here is your salvation, that you get put into the book of life. That's why God brought you here this morning. And if you never, ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, man, now is the time. Don't procrastinate. It's too important to put off. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me, change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Anybody else? No shame. God bless you back there. Lord, you have seen the hands, and hopefully they understood what matters most is that you love them, you never abandon them, and you want them to be in heaven with you. And they said yes. So, Lord, I pray that you would help them understand what it is to walk with you, to grow with you. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless them, help them to find a church that they can worship in. Help them to understand what matters most. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's reading the Bible. Whatever it is, Lord, help our priorities to line up with what your Bible says. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. And just so you know, when I go visit other churches, I always say, oh, my pastor more better. Would you stand with us? And let's sing about what matters most. It's all about God.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.